Ace Podcast.
Coming up on this episode, they've got to pipe the music into the kennels. If you've been feeling a bit rough lately and you can't figure out why or what's wrong, maybe you need an old woman to lick your eyeball.
That's a sentence I didn't think I was going to hear today. Hooroo to the bloody drongo flapping about his old fella after raging on a plonk a bit heavy. All this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10, 9, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on, 5, 4, 3.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. I'm Craig.
I'm Aaron.
And we are coming to you on a sunny, beautiful day from the Lee Berry Studios.
What a day.
Right outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
What a day.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to. Let's get to it. Hey.
Yeah.
Top story.
Top story.
Top story.
College student confuses covered lab equipment with KKK rally.
Okay, this is funny to me because I saw the picture that they confused it with.
The what?
The picture.
Okay, so I don't even know what that... I'm going to be honest with you. I'm flying blind here. I just read this. I don't know what that means. How do you confuse a covered
let
lab...
Let me set it up.
Covered lab equipment with KKK. Maybe I should read it and then you can explain.
Let me set it up first because it'll be funnier.
This is right up the street.
It'll be funnier to you when you see it. So they had a picture online of this story. There is a projector in a classroom with a cover over it. And it does look like a hood from 500 feet away looking at the window.
Right.
So just imagine that. Somebody walks by and in our time today.
And not even an hour from here.
No, it's close to here.
A student at a Bowling Green State University. Nobody accused Kentucky of being...
Western Kentucky?
Nobody accused Kentucky of being genius is what I said.
Yeah.
A student at Bowling Green State University suspected she saw, on Sunday, a Ku Klux Klan rally taking place on campus. Does that happen a lot there?
No, it doesn't.
It turned out to be covered lab equipment. The student was walking through campus and saw what looked like a white sheet through a window. She quickly took video footage and sounded the alarm on Twitter, messaging the university president about the issue. After the student's tweet went out, Bowling Green did some light detective work to discover the true identity of the purported Klansman.
Okay, hang on a second. I take it back. I don't think this is Western Kentucky. I think it's Bowling Green College. I think that's what they call it.
No, it's not Western Kentucky. It's BGSU.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So I apologize to my alma mater, Western Kentucky.
Okay. The university's president, Mary Ellen Mazey, tweeted at the student the school's findings. She tweeted at the student?
Yeah, she did the little...
I tweet you!
Hey, stand there.
I'm tweeting in your general direction.
You're not going to like this.
The student was relieved. Oh, good.
She just tweeted.
But remained convinced that the white supremacist group was active. Of course she was, because she felt stupid.
Absolutely she did.
It didn't take long before the incident spread throughout social media, causing many mocking tweets to be sent back to the
Hilarious.
The KKK is estimated to currently have around 5,000 to 8,000 members, split between dozens of organizations that use the Klan name throughout the United States. It is unclear how many hold rallies in university laboratories.
A great closing line.
I bet they start now.
But how, I mean, you walking by. Look,
poor thing.
No, not poor thing.
No. As we say in the South, bless her heart.
That's it, yes.
Bless her heart because she's ignorant.
People are so addicted to social media at this point and attention. But the fact that this got attention, and it got the right attention.
And we're supposed to believe she saw one thing that looked like a
yes.
hood. That would be the smallest on record Klan rally ever.
One
person. The one is the loneliest number.
It really is. Thank you, Three Dog Night. Headline is, frustrated burglar steals ice in January. You've got to be a frustrated burglar if you're stealing ice in January.
That's
because you
true.
Can just walk outside and pick some,
yeah.
This comes to us from Pine Township. County police say a would-be burglar made off with 25 bags of ice after failing to gain entry early Wednesday into the Dollar General store. Police responded to an alarm at the store at 5:22 a.m. 00.0 for those .3 for our friends in Australia, and found half a cinder block a couple of feet away from the main door. The glass door had a large scratch. That must be some good glass, Craig.
Yeah.
Had a large scratch that police said indicated someone had thrown the block, attempting to gain entry into the building. The store manager noticed the lock missing from an outside chest and found that someone had taken 25 7-pound bags of ice.
That's desperate.
This guy went to rob Dollar General, could not break through the glass, so what did he do? He broke the lock off the ice machine and took all his car would carry in January.
How is it that that's even a thing? Police said, they said this.
Okay, I'm listening.
A local man broke into an animal hospital and then fled, leaving his keys and cell phone inside.
Why, what are they looking for in an animal hospital?
I don't know, but
Nicholas
Bruner, 31, of Eureka Avenue, was charged with third-degree burglary and second-degree criminal mischief. He was released after posting $10,000 bond. Police said they responded to a burglar alarm at the pet hospital on Linden Avenue.
Oh, yeah. That's where I take Charlie.
Right. When officers got there, they found a rear window broken and there was blood on the window frame. Inside the hospital, police said they found a trail of blood on the floor, along with a set of keys and a cell phone. They said it appeared the burglar was looking for drugs.
Not only did he leave his cell phone and his keys, he left DNA.
He left a blood sample. Police said they traced the cell phone to Bruner, who admitted it was his, along with the keys, but claimed he had lost them and couldn't remember where.
Somebody stole them. Somebody said they were going to break into a vet and stole my keys.
I was at the vet the other day, and I dropped them.
All right, Craig. Headline is, poop catching bag lawsuit now in federal court. So I'm glad to see that that our federal courts have the important cases, and they're taking them seriously.
It's the poop-catching bag.
An Amish community's fight against a law requiring horses to wear excrement-catching bags has been moved to federal court.
Why shouldn't they have to?
I agree. And that's not like it's not like you putting a chip in your horse or anything. I mean,
no.
It's a bag for
Pete's
sake.
It's a bag to catch, and they should be happy to use as fertilizer.
Bags have been around since before the Amish.
Right.
News outlets report that Auburn City Attorney Curry Milliken filed notice on Monday to remove the lawsuit from a circuit court. The case has been moved to the U.S. District Court for the Western District of, once again, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Two members of Auburn's Amish community have filed suit against the city's mayor and police chief. Dan Mast and Emmanuel Miller claim in the suit that the ordinance targets the Amish, discriminates against them.
No, it targets horses that poop on the road.
It targets anybody that drives a horse, for Pete's sake.
If you pull a buggy, we're going to put a bag behind you.
Absolutely. There's horses in Nashville that drive tourists around all over the place. They've got the bags.
I don't want to walk down the street. It's like we got a greenway, and you go out there sometimes, and every once in a while I'll be like a dog or something.
Yes.
It's like, are you kidding me?
Pick that up.
Pick it up.
In the notice Monday, Milliken said the city ordinance does not target anyone, but rather applies equally to everyone within the city limits. You know why? You know why the Amish are confused? They don't have a TV to let them know that there's other horses out there.
Right.
They think they've
got the only horses.
The only horses,
right.
Yes. Mast is among several Amish who have been cited by police for violating the ordinance.
And some of the nicest people, too.
They're very nice, and they make good cheese.
Okay. Hey, do you know that dogs prefer reggae and soft rock to other music genres?
Wait a minute.
That's what research suggests.
I don't believe that. My dog doesn't like raga. You know why? Because I don't like raga.
Raga?
Yeah, raga.
Hillbilly. The Scottish SPCA and the University of Glasgow have published a paper which suggests music affects dogs' behavior.
Yes. Well, now I agree with that first sentence.
Researchers played a variety of music to dogs at a rehoming center.
What's that?
That's a shelter, I believe.
So they get a new home.
I guess so.
Okay.
In Dumbarton, and assessed physiological and behavioral changes. Professor Neil Evans said the most positive behavior changes were seen when the dogs were played reggae and soft rock.
I don't believe it. Soft rock, I do believe. You know, you throw some
reggae,
Oreos.
Reggae, man. I play the dogs the reggae, man.
Something about raga just makes me...
Raga.
It makes my stomach hurt.
But then I'll chill, man.
I don't like it.
I said let the dogs listen to the reggae, man.
What if you combine them? What if you have a soft rock raga?
That'd be some weird, like...
Those dogs go to sleep.
Although these genres stood out, he said the study suggested each dog had its own musical taste.
Bingo.
Professor Evans said, overall, The response to different genres was mixing highlights and possibilities that humans and canine friends have their own individual musical preferences.
That's really good.
The dogs were, well, he's been talking that way his whole life.
Dogs.
The dogs were played five different genres of music, soft rock, Motown, pop, reggae, and classical. The study suggests that dogs spent significantly more time lying. Well, they should probably tell the truth more often. And significantly less time standing.
They lied about liking rock on music.
Right. When the music was played, regardless of the genre. By measuring the dog's heart rate, researchers said they showed a decrease in stress levels when played music, particularly when it was soft rock or reggae. PhD student Amy Bowman said, "We were keen to explore the effects playing different genres of music had. It was clear that the physiological and behavioral changes observed were maintained during the trial when the dogs were exposed to a variety of music." Oh, that was hard to say. The Scottish SPCA said it would now be investing in sound systems for all its kennels.
That's awesome.
Gilly Mendez Ferreira of SPCA said, "At present, both our Glasgow and Edinburgh centers are able to pipe music through the..." They've got to pipe the music into the kennels. In the future, every center would be able... I'm just starting to turn into something. I don't know what it is.
Hid new.
In the future, every center will be able to offer our four-footed friends a canine-approved playlist with the view to extending this research to other species in our care.
Oh, good. Like the pigeons. You know, this isn't in the story, but I did read on this that they discovered their favorite band. It was Three Dog Night.
Shut up. Scotland's animal welfare charity previously released research in 2015 that showed the impact classical music had on dogs' behavior.
Other than raw guy music, they really enjoyed Who Let the Dogs Out.
I really want to try that again. We can keep going here, but I just really want to say, in the future,
yeah,
I think they'll be able to offer a forfeited friends a canine-approved playlist with a view to extending this research to other species in our care.
That's awesome. So
that's horrible.
We're spending a lot of money.
I'd like to apologize to our friends in Scotland for such a crappy, horrible. I'm just starting to lose it. I can't do it anymore.
Let's get with the crazy man again. Headline is, man attacks family and sets Fresno home ablaze in fracas over inadequate cigarette. A knife-wielding man, we have a lot of these lately, was arrested Tuesday after setting his family's home on fire following a violent dispute with relatives over a cigarette.
Okay.
Richard Garcia, age 58, was taken into custody on suspicion of arson and assault with a deadly weapon, according to Lieutenant Joe Gomez.
Joe Gomez?
Yeah, that's old man Gomez's boy.
Huh.
Yeah, he works down at the big house. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Stony Lonesome, huh?
Yeah, down there at the Husco, so to speak, or, Club Fed, we like to say.
Don't even remember him anymore.
When police were initially called to the home at 11:45 a.m., officers thought they were dealing with a family disturbance, he said. But as officers drove to the home, they learned the home was on fire. When they learned that, when they saw the smoke and the flames.
It was fully involved.
Officers arrived to find Garcia sitting on the porch with a marshmallow on a stick. No, Craig, not really. Of the home with a knife in his hands as flames spread through the residence behind him, Gomez said. Garcia had cuts on his legs and hands because he had been slicing himself with the knife. I've got a feeling that there was some synthetic drugs involved with this story.
Maybe some spice.
During this period, Garcia claimed he started the fire to kill those people, but he would not say who he was talking about in the residence.
Couldn't argue that he wasn't trying to do something like that.
Soon after, firefighters arrived and put the blaze out. As officers investigated the fire, they discovered Garcia had attacked his family earlier that day over a cigarette his brother-in-law had given him. The family lives together at the Fresno home.
What, do you want filtered and you got unfiltered or something?
Garcia was upset because he felt the cigarette was inadequate.
This cigarette is inadequate.
Look, this is not a 100. This is a regular length. Police said he struck his brother-in-law in the head and hit his sister with a crowbar.
Goodness gracious.
Good grief. According to the lieutenant, Garcia then grabbed a hammer and hit them. Craig. Over an inadequate cigarette.
It must have been a bad cigarette.
After hitting them with the crowbar and the hammer, Gomez said, Garcia picked up a kitchen knife and chased them around the home.
He gets a free cigarette.
Yeah.
Because he's too cheap or doesn't have something, doesn't have his own.
He said, hey, brother-in-law.
And that's not good enough.
Give me a smoke. You got a smoke?
This had to be deeper rooted.
I bet he probably wanted like a Salem and they gave him a Winston.
Or he wanted some Mary Jane.
Maybe. The couple ran into separate rooms when Garcia started the fire. Unbeknownst to Garcia, both victims escaped the residence.
It's like a magic trick.
Before Garcia started the fire. The male victim climbed out a bedroom window and the female victim ran out the front door of the house as Garcia ran into the kitchen.
I didn't think about the windows.
Garcia, he's going away, man. They're going to throw him in the pen.
Hey.
Yeah.
I sent you this story.
Yeah, you did. This grossed me out. I think I even responded to your text as gross.
My text is gross. But yet somehow compelling.
A little bit, yeah.
Ready? Would you pay this elderly? You have to imagine the lady because I don't have a picture.
She's elderliest of elderly ladies, yes. You can imagine.
Would you pay this elderly woman to lick your eyeballs clean?
I wouldn't pay anybody. I wouldn't pay Michelle.
What if it cured your vision?
Pfeiffer.
What if it cured your vision?
Well, I might.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you've been feeling a bit rough lately and you can't figure out why or what's wrong, maybe you need an old woman to lick your eyeball.
That's a sentence I didn't think I was going to hear today.
We know you're probably thinking, that's just gross and weird.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
But this is actually a thing, and according to the 80-year-old who does the licking, it actually works.
Gross.
Hava Selebik, or Nana Hava, old Nana Hava.
That's my favorite kind of cigar.
Yeah. As she's known to the locals in her village in Bosnia, has supposedly cured 5,000 people using this unusual technique.
I don't believe it. Gross.
She claimed to be the only person in the world, not really surprising, who possesses the ability to heal with her tongue, which makes the 10 euros she charges seem something of a bargain. Hava uses her tongue to remove pieces of lead, iron, coal, sawdust, and glass from the eyeballs. After sterilizing her mouth with alcohol.
Yeah, I bet she sterilizes it with a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, no, so does the patient.
Yes.
Patients raise their eyelid so she can begin licking in search of a foreign body.
Let me stop you right here, because I have the feeling that she's not the only person in the world that can remove lead, iron, coal, sawdust, and glass with her tongue from an eyeball. It seems like anybody...
She's the only one willing to
that's
do it.
That's it. There. Maybe yeah, that's right. It.
I learned from a woman... who was also called Hava, she explained.
Don't ever get near a woman named Hava.
Unfortunately, I cannot pass this to my descendants because my children are too disgusted to put their tongue in someone's eye.
Isn't that Anthony Weiner's wife, Hava?
I don't know.
No, it's Huma.
Huma.
Yeah.
I've been told that people will cut out my tongue when I die so the village can continue to treat people. I have a feeling that if you disconnect it from the body, it doesn't work anymore.
They have to store it in a... and alcohol.
Her patients are not, but it has to be attached to her.
I would think so, yes.
Her patients are not restricted only to locals, but also Americans to Russians traveling in search of her services.
So people from our beautiful country travel over here to get their eyes licked.
Yeah. I got a dog that'll do it for free.
I got a cat that'll do it.
Yeah. And cats have that scratchy tongue.
Yeah, that would
so
hurt.
You would think they probably could get it out.
Sure. Maybe she's got a
maybe
cat
she's got
tongue.
She's a cat, part cat.
Maybe she's a cougar.
There are a lot of... I see what you did there. I doubt she is.
I doubt it.
There are a lot of those that modern medicine could not help, she added. They come to me out of the hospital with swollen eyes. I clean them and remove the speck. She got all biblical.
Yeah, she did.
She removed the... Hey, lady, why don't you remove the speck out of your own eye?
To the plank.
Yeah, remove the plank out of your eye before you start taking the speck out of others. I don't charge licking for those who are not employed and have no money, but my service fee normally costs around 10 euros.
Whoo, that's difficult.
That's what I think I told you. That's podcast material right
there. That really is. And the picture you sent me of her tongue in somebody's eye really just helped with my
diet. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be totally transparent here. Can you see through me?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. My vision's pretty jacked up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not beyond letting some old lady lick my eyeball to see if it fixes it.
All right, we can.
It would probably tickle.
It probably would, but we cannot have two middle-aged dudes in a microphone weird stories without going to Australia, mate.
Okay.
Headline is...
We actually can have those, and we have had those.
Headline is, woman charged over bizarre crime spree and pooping on an elderly woman's
I like
porch.
The other word better, defecating.
Armadale detectives have charged a 32-year-old woman who allegedly broke into an 80-year-old woman's home on Tuesday and defecated on her front porch. You know,
wait, Craig? That's not breaking in. She's on the front porch.
That's true. That's just pooping. It will be alleged at around 1:15, the 80-year-old woman returned home to find the 32-year-old female inside her house. So it is breaking. Inside her house, dealing household items and defecating on a porch.
Household.
Household.
Household items.
The victim asked the woman to leave, and it will be further alleged that the woman grabbed the victim's arms, demanding money. So not only she pooped on her porch and steal her stuff, she's twisting her arm to give her some money. Literally. Wow. So the woman took off, fled after a short scuffle. A short time later, police will allege that the same woman entered a fast food outlet in Albany Highway in Kilmscott and tore a necklace from the throat of a 16-year-old boy before trying to run away. Again, I say to you, Craig, I have a feeling synthetic drugs may be involved in this story.
Possibly.
The 32-year-old woman from Huntingdale has been charged with aggravated robbery, aggravated home burglary, and commit an offense in stealing. She's due to appear before the Armdale Magistrates Court on Wednesday. Okay, Craig, here's a tweet that was sent to me and you from our good buddies at Misguided Consultation.
Okay.
I want you to interpret this for me.
Okay.
Hooroo to the bloody drongo flapping about his old fella after raging on a plonk a bit heavy.
Talk about being on bath salts. I'd have to look at, can I see the words so I can interpret?
Yeah.
Okay, turn around so I can see the words. Who am I kidding? I can't see that far.
Hooroo to the bloody drongo.
So shout out or hooroo.
Okay, to the awesome dude talking, flapping, I bet means talking.
Flapping.
About his old fella, his friend.
His friend.
After raging on the plonk a bit heavy, after drinking too much.
Or having a massive poop.
Okay, I'm going to say that translated.
I made that up.
Translated. Hooroo to the bloody drongo flapping about his old fella after raging on a plonk a bit heavy. Translated is, way to go to the nice person talking about his buddy after they had a little too much to drink.
I would say that's as good a guess as any.
If we're wrong, I'm sure they'll let us know.
I'm sure they will.
Okay.
Hey, you know what time it is?
What time it is?
Okay. I'm at a loss here. I'm going to let you do this whole list because
okay.
I don't read very often because I just don't enjoy it like you do.
Well, I've been going to the top10s.com to get our list, and these are the ones we talked about last episode.
I think it's funny already what number one is, though.
Average. Oh, my gosh. That burns me up. Average people.
Actually, three of them are in there.
Yeah, these are the worst. Yeah. These are the worst books.
Oh, these are worst books
yes,
ever.
Yes, these are not best. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, okay.
These are the worst books. These are the worst books
easy
ever written, according to the top10s.com. Number 10. Eclipse.
Actually, I may go back and forth on this one because I
agree with that. And the only reason
Eclipse.
Yes, the only reason I know is because my
yeah. You seem to know something about this.
I was given the book set. The whole series said you're going to read these. They're incredible. I started reading them and I'm like, this is the worst garbage I've ever read. Number 9, William Shakespeare Star Wars.
What?
Yeah, somebody took the Star Wars story and did it in Shakespeare thing. Number 8, Middle School. My brother is a big fat liar.
He's a Leah.
Yeah. Number 7. This is wrong.
Wait, we didn't refer to this as its new name. It's the Flash Jackass Top 10.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Number 7, Emily the Strange, which is a graphic novel, first of all.
Ooh, it's got a lot of blood and gore.
No, but I did enjoy it. Number 6, you've got to be kidding me.
How's that a worst book ever?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Isn't that considered one of the best books?
It's an incredible book, and it is actually on the best book list from the same website.
Okay, but again, aren't these people voting?
This is these
like
are people
People
voting.
Choice, okay?
Yes.
And you watch the news, and you see the state of people, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Number 5, New Moon.
Another Twilight book.
I agree. Terrible stuff. Number 4, I haven't read, but I can guess that it's probably in its proper place on this list. Justin Bieber, First Step to Forever.
Number 2, Forever.
Number 3, 50 Shades of Grey.
Ugh.
Haven't read it, but I know enough about it to think that it does belong on this list. Number 2, Mein Kampf, by your favorite author, Hitler. I haven't read it either, but...
Kind of sad that he's not on the number 1 spot.
You know, as bad as that book is, I haven't read
it. How bad do you have to be...
I do have that book.
Wait, how bad do you have to be to beat Hitler... On the worst book ever.
Okay, number 1, Twilight. And that's the one that I did start reading and okay. got just a little way through before throwing it across the room.
So here's the deal. So I never read, and I think we talked about this before. I had heard about what the story was about.
Yeah.
This is before it blew up, okay?
Right.
So the book first comes out.
Yep.
I never read.
Yep.
I honestly just lost a family member, and I was like, I was going to a funeral. I didn't have anything. I just needed something to distract me. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to start reading this because I had the idea on paper sounded kind of interesting that, you know, if you know the story about, you know, mortal and a vampire. And this is, again, before it turned into, like, fanatic teenage girl book.
Yeah, it is.
And I got through the book. It was all right. I mean, I, you know. And then I might have actually, for some reason, because I read the first one, I started reading the second one. I stopped there. But it was funny because other people in the house started reading, the women in the house started reading it.
Yeah. How did they like it?
They liked it.
And, did they really?
I think the thing is, I think what hurt that was she'd never written a book before. Did a pretty good job for somebody who'd never written a book before. But it blew up into this annoying phenomenon.
Yeah.
And it was all teenage girls.
It has a cult following.
Yeah. But when you first heard the story, on, you know, just the basic idea.
Yeah.
That she came up with after a dream. And it was like, I thought it was kind of a neat idea at first. And maybe it still is if somebody else had written it.
Yes.
I don't know.
Stephen King writes it. I'm reading it.
Yeah. It was about, you know, what do you do if you're immortal and you're in love with a vampire?
Yeah.
And he always wants to kill you.
Yeah.
That sounds to me like a great idea.
Sure.
I mean, think about it. Let's put it into perspective here.
I'd read it.
Take it out of Twilight. Take it out of New Moon. Take it out of Eclipse. Take it out of what you know about it. And just if I told you, I got an idea.
Yeah.
You fall in love with a vampire. And the problem is she constantly wants to kill you.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
It sounds good. How can
execution.
You go wrong?
Execution.
Yes.
And the problem is whiny character you want to kill. You wish she'd die quickly.
Maybe this is the issue. It is considered a young adult teen novel. Maybe.
But I've read one of those. It was a Clive Barker.
Oh, yeah.
One
of my favorite books.
The Thief of Always. Go check that out.
One of my favorite books of all time is a young adult novel. So
Dr. Seuss?
No, that's a children's book. That's not even a novel.
Okay, whatever. So they can be good. They're kind of ratcheted down a little bit for that mindset or for that age group.
Yeah.
And this Clive Barker one was great. I don't know. I think it just turned in. This thing just got turned into an annoyance.
Yes, I agree with you.
And so I don't have a problem with it being on this list, honestly.
Okay, before we go, we're in the month of February
now. We should probably leave it to the professionals over at, does Turning Back the Pages, do they do that?
They do. They
maybe
focus,
they are more qualified.
They focus on children's and young adult novels.
They should probably be more qualified.
Definitely.
And maybe they should, when they hear this, they should maybe talk about it a couple minutes and let's see what they think.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But before we leave, we're already in February. You know what we forgot to do in January? Give away a shirt. We forgot to give away a shirt.
You can give away the one you're wearing right now?
Nope. I'm keeping this one because I like it. But I am going to give away a two middle-aged dudes and a microphone t-shirt to someone who leaves a review on iTunes. So if you've already reviewed us on iTunes, you're already in the drawing.
Click on the stars.
Yep.
And actually type a review.
That's correct.
Both.
That's how you enter the contest. And all of you that have already so graciously left us a review, you are already entered into the drawing.
And here's the deal.
Except for Brandon, because he's already won.
Brand Flake has already won. And you know, we're not too good to say that if it's a bad review, you're still qualified.
It doesn't matter. It just needs to be a review. Yeah. So if you hate it, well, if they hate us, they wouldn't be listening to
this
because it's at the end of the show.
Right.
So go ahead, please go to iTunes and review two middle-aged dudes and a microphone. And who knows, you've got pretty good odds of winning a shirt at this point. Well, we are out of stories. We're out of top tens. We're out of everything. So I guess it's time to say adieu.
Sayonara.
So long.
Goodbye. Farewell.
Again, I say so long.
Goodbye.
I don't know how that song goes.
I don't know
goes.
Either.
But anyway.
We'll leave the singing to the pros.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Hey, come back in a few days. We have another one.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.